Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 9th of September 2020. And what a busy night of sport it was last night. We've got plenty of live action happening for you as well. More on that in just a second, but let's head to the footy. There was a bit of a shock early on your Tuesday evening. Adelaide beating GWS by a couple of goals to really open things up in the chase for eighth spot.
Ball in the hands of Kyle Hardigan. And the Adelaide Crows win back-to-back games in 2020. Not many thought we'd see that. And they flip the top eight script on its head. The Giants are vulnerable in eighth spot right now. What a performance from the Crows.
And the Blues were 39 points down last night, midway through the second quarter, and fought back to beat Sydney. It pretty much all came down to this kick for Matt Cottrell.
Cottrell from 45, directly in front. The Blues are up by a kick. He fucks the dash. Have a look at him. He is absolutely pumped, and he's put his team in front with 1.5 on the clock.
Live cricket action as well. Australia 2 for 84 in the third and final T20 International, chasing 146 for victories. So 62 runs needed in 61 deliveries. Hopefully they'll be able to get the chocolates and get a bit of confidence in the third and final T20 clash before we move on to the one day. There's plenty to come on the Breakfast Bite, including all the fallout from that whip rule announcement a couple of days ago. Next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
You certainly are. Don't forget, after 6 o'clock this morning, Half Whitey and plenty of action on the Breakfast Club to return. Craig Gabriel on the US Open. We'll try and get your winner on the early mail. Sherelle McMahon after 7 o'clock. Isaac Smith from the Hawks. Georgia Wareham from the Australian Women's Cricket Team. Alistair Lynch to join the boys as well. And Riley O'Brien too. What a story that was last night, the Adelaide Ruckman. He will have a chat to them just before 8.30. After 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. The Melbourne Cup Diaries continue today. As we start our countdown after the weights were released yesterday, for a full list of those weights after first acceptances and nominations for the Crawford Cup, the Melbourne Cup and the Cox Plate, head to rsn.net.au. Then after 10.30 this morning, Gareth Hall with another edition of RSN Central. So very busy Wednesday morning. So much happening in the world of racing and sport. Let's start, though, with the footy from last night. And what an upset this was. It's just thrown the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of the chase for eighth spot. The Adelaide Crows upsetting GWS 8-11-59 to the Giants 7-5-47. Leon Cameron, I'm pretty sure, would be happy he put pen to paper on a new two-year deal, because they might be looking elsewhere had he not signed that. Let's hear from the Giants coach and what went wrong last night.
I pat my back seven on the back for majority of the game, other than probably two or three disappointing easy goals. But they're defending 46 inside 50s. And we only had 26 or 27 at the other end, and it's not good enough, because our midfield again, it let us down. We've got it back in patches, but we haven't had it consistently. And I just thought we'd turn the corner in the last probably 3 weeks. But our hunger to constantly, move a metre, 2 metres, 3 metres, 4 metres, which we feel as though that's been our really strong brand over the last 4 years, we got shown up tonight.
Yeah, well, we got Melbourne on Saturday. I mean, they're in the same boat as us. It's 4 days. We haven't got much time to blink. We're on a plane. We're back home, back to Queensland. And then we wake up and it's Wednesday, and before we know it, we're playing at the Gabba. And we all know the stakes. We're not going to hide away from it. I've said that the last 3 weeks. If you're good enough to make it, you're good enough. And normally the eight that make it, they've deserved to make it. On our performance tonight, okay, clearly that's not going to cut it against Melbourne. Our first final's on Saturday night, and so I can't look too far ahead. If we can play some really good, hard, tough footy in 4 days' time, then you deserve to get there. And if you can't, then you don't deserve it. And it's just strange, but you know, I'd much prefer to be playing a lot better brand than what we did tonight than what we weren't.
Well, the top seven deserve it this year. Not sure about eighth. No one wants to put their hand up. It leaves GWS vulnerable. They're in eighth position on 32 points with a percentage of 101.2. The Western Bulldogs also on 8 wins with a percentage of 100.3. So not much between those two at all. And Melbourne, it's opened the door for the Ds. They are sitting in 10th spot at the moment, 1 win behind with a percentage of 106.1. So this is huge against GWS on the weekend. And Carlton are also on 28 points, their percentage 97 flat. So still plenty up for grabs for those four teams who will battle it out, you'd think, for that eighth position. The Blues, as you heard, off the top, a goal in the dying moments to Matt Cottrell confirmed a 5-point victory. It went down the other end of the field and Louis Taylor had the chance to level things up. He wasn't able to do so. He missed. And David Teague is pretty happy with the man who grew up a childhood Carlton fan and lived his dream kicking the winning goal.
Yeah, he's a beautiful kick. So, to be honest, the mark was probably the impressive bit. He got up and clunked the mark, but he does have a confidence. He's good. He's got good skills. So, yeah, I actually have to admit, I felt pretty comfortable with him taking the shot. He's an extrovert, but he just plays. He just played instinctive footy, and the ball was there, and he flew for it, and that's what we want. We want our players to back themselves in and be at their best, and we wanted them to bring their strengths tonight, and look, I will be honest, him launching to that mark, I didn't know if it was one of his strengths, but it might be going forward.
There we go, David Teague speaking last night. The finals window still slightly ajar for Carlton, although they'd need a number of results to go their way. Let's head to some of the other big news from yesterday. We'll start with Connor McKenna, who called it quits on his AFL career. The 24-year-old is heading back to Ireland after plenty of homesickness over the last couple of seasons, and he's, of course, lived in hub life this year. This is what he had to say after retiring.
Yeah, probably this year just haven't really been enjoying my football as much. Talked to Ben Rudden most of the last probably 6 weeks about just not really enjoying the games and didn't really put my hand up for selection probably the last 4 weeks. Was just happy to play VFL and sort of just realised that if it's going to be over the end of the year, might as well just sort of finish it now. Pretty not an easy decision, but with having gone on the last year, just I know it's the right time for me to go home, and it's something I've always looked forward to, actually to be able to say it and announce that I'm retiring. It's very, very happy day for me. I'm actually looking forward to going home and starting a new chapter of my life with my family and back to Gaelic football, which is sort of always dreamt about doing, so I'm really looking forward to getting home. A couple of boys really close with, like, yeah, Jaden and Paddy and Raz and Wallet and them boys. It's hard after 6 years of living with them, and I suppose live a third of my life over here, so it's just the really, really friendships I'll have for the rest of my life, and just to say goodbye to them, and probably having an honour to win, to not see them for maybe a couple of years, so yeah, it's pretty difficult to say goodbye to them ones especially.
Connor McKenna there speaking yesterday. That is it for his AFL career, petering out, unfortunately, with his decision to go home to Ireland. So good luck to Connor McKenna and whatever lies next for him. There's more footy to come tonight as well. Brisbane and the Gold Coast will bring you the team changes later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the cricket now, though. The Aussies just wobbling a little bit after losing a couple of quick wickets. They're now 4 for 89, needing 57 from 55 deliveries. Unfortunately, Aaron Finch has just gone out. So Steve Smith and Mitch Marsh, the two batsmen at the crease at the moment, on naught and two respectively. So a little bit of work here for the Australians to do to try and close this one out. Matthew Wade made 14 at the top of the order from 9 deliveries. Finch bowled by Rashid for 39 from 26 balls. Stoinis made 26 from 18. Maxwell went out for 6. Now Smith and Marsh have the chance to guide Australia to victory. 57 from 54 deliveries needed now. We'll keep you updated on the run chase over the next 20 minutes, and I'm sure Half and Whitey will be all over that after 6 o'clock on The Breakfast Club. Let's head now to a little bit of the racing news from yesterday. And, geez, it was getting quite interesting on RSN yesterday morning. Let's first of all listen to RV CEO Giles Thompson on the timing of the Whipperell press release that was issued by Racing Victoria a couple of days ago. And this is why they did it at such an interesting time.
There's nothing special about the timing of it announcing yesterday. This is not something that has come out of the blue. It might be a surprise that it happened yesterday, but the debate about the whip rule has been going on for decades and has been fairly intense as well for the last 9 to 12 months as the light was shone on racing and its place within the community and its acceptance within the community. So this isn't a new issue. It's an issue that has raged and will continue to rage, I suspect, for many, many years. The timing yesterday was simply that we got to a point where we felt that we had done everything we could to try and progress the issue without being able to discuss it publicly. And that's one of the challenges we face, is about when do you put it out there publicly, when can you consult more broadly? And that's, you know, that the process isn't perfect, and we chose yesterday to go public. It is a gap, we think, far enough in advance away from the main spring peak period. And that's why we wanted to get it out early September as opposed to in a few weeks' time. So we're aware of the emotiveness and the passion that this will engender as a conversation.
Yeah, it certainly did. And Wayne Hawkes had this to say on RSN Central with Gareth Hall yesterday.
We obviously need it for safety because yep. I've never ridden in a race, but I've ridden horses, and when you give them a slap down the shoulder, 9 times out of 10, it's going to straighten the horse up. And that's why your hands are on the reins, you're slapping it down the shoulder to actually straighten the horse up. So they're never going to lose that completely, but I don't know. I'm not for it or against it, to be honest. I normally do have an opinion, but I'm probably a bit 50-50 here.
Geez, you've changed your tune from yesterday then.
Well, no, not really. God, what did I say yesterday?
You said that you think it's ridiculous.
No, I didn't. What I said was, geez, you love just making things up.
No, this is what you said to me on the phone. You said you'd be fired up.
What I said, geez, you're full of it. What I said to you off air was...
Someone's got to you. Someone has got to you, Wayne.
Yeah, you have.
No.
Stop talking. Hear me out.
Yep.
Hear me out, right? The end result is, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Racing Victoria are only proposing it to Racing Australia. It's got to be an RA rule, which is a Racing Australia, an AR rule, Australian Racing. When it starts AR, any rule, that's Australian Racing rule. So it's a national thing. Is Peter Volandis, what's he going to say? Is he saying yay or nay to this? Because Peter quite often does a thing like when we had the Regumate, let it happen in Sydney but not in Melbourne. So I don't know what Peter's thinking, but it needs to be national. We need to be pushing more national rules. That's number one. Number two, who is actually, Gareth, saying that we need to get rid of the whip rule? Because I want to know whether it's the lefts, the rights, the greens, Labor, Liberal, mum and dad in the street, because no bastards ask me.
There we go, Wayne Hawkes speaking yesterday. In case you missed the whole chat, head to rsn.net.au or subscribe to the RSN Central podcast. Some fascinating discussions taking place on the whip rule debate, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come in the following weeks. Let's head to the NRL world now. St. George Illawarra, SA, revealing finally that Anthony Griffin has joined the club on a 2-year deal. He's coached a couple of NRL sides before. This is a new challenge for him, and this is what he had to say last night on NRL 360 on Fox Sports about the challenge of the Dragons.
Well, I think on the field to start with, just clearly defensively, they've leaked at 23-24 points a game now for 2 seasons. So that comes back to probably the way they train, the attitude, technique, their list. But we need to get a harder edge on the squad, in my opinion. But, you know, to do that, there's list management and rosters to take care of. They've lost a lot of experience with James Graham and DeBellin obviously not being able to play, and Frizzell's going to leave. So there's some decisions to be made then too that we'll start to do together to make sure we get the strongest squad we can to start next year.
There we go, Anthony Griffin on the challenge ahead for him and St. George Illawarra next year. 12 to 6 on your Wednesday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on all the live scores from overnight. US Open, golf from yesterday, NBA, some netball last night as well, plus the Tour de France on the other side of this.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Miss Brady is challenging the call on the left baseline.
Game is off. It's just millimetres at this point, but I think this may have clipped the line.
Game. Semi. Brady.
She'll take it. Jennifer Brady is into the semifinals of the US Open. 6-3, 6-2.
The number 28 seed, the American Jennifer Brady, 6-3, 6-2, into the semifinals of the US Open after her quarterfinal victory this morning. Naomi Osaka to come a little later on Arthur Ashe against Shelby Rogers, so the number 4 seed against an unseeded American. Meanwhile, on the men's side of things, some life scores at the moment. Alexander Zverev's got a fight on his hands if he wants to make the semifinals himself. Borna Koric took the first set 6-1, lost the second 6-7, but leads in the third set 3-2 at the moment. So Zverev with a bit of work to do, and later today Shapovalov and Carreno Busta will go head to head at about 10:30 Australian time. We'll bring you those results tomorrow on The Breakfast Bite, and stay tuned to The Breakfast Club and RSN Central for all the latest there. Let's head to the NBA now. This is what happened yesterday as some good news for the Clippers. They took a series lead 2-1, 113-107 over the Denver Nuggets.
Shot clock at 9. Murray takes it and tried to jam and was rejected at the rim. It was almost saved by Beverly. Kawhi Leonard is doing it all. Defensive play.
Well, Jamal Murray was trying to catch a body here. Look at this. Ooh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yesterday, the Celtics beating the Raptors as well, 111-89. Boston now leading that series 3-2. Couple of games to come today. The Bucks will play the Heat. Miami leading that series 3-1. And then the Rockets will play the Lakers. That series tied at 1-1. So more NBA action to come later on today. Let's head to the Super Netball from last night. And the Vixens have done it again.
It's time for the Vixens to get down and score another goal. And the big long bomb from Caitlin Flakes. The two-point play from Maui Kamwenda, and the finish, if you don't mind.
62-55, the Vixens, they stay at the top of the table, clearly the best team in the comp this year. Sherelle McMahon, the assistant coach, will join us as part of the Breakfast Club after 7 o'clock this morning. The West Coast Fever, meanwhile, beating the Sunshine Coast Lightning 72-52 in the two games last night. So wins for the Fever and the Vixens. Tonight, the Giants play the Magpies and the Thunderbirds take on the Firebirds. So midweek netball action to come later on. Let's head now to the Tour de France. This was the end of Stage 10.
Then it's Mirkou, Sam Bennett, Caleb Ewan, Bonifacio, Peter Sagan a bit further back. The run comes on the left of screen. It's Caleb has just lent his way into the slipstream of Sam Bennett. It's Mirkou followed by Bennett. Then it's Ewan waiting patiently. Sagan in green is breathing down his neck. Followed then by Viviani. Bennett opens up. Caleb sees the gap. Bennett versus Ewan. It's the Bennett. Irishman this time. Bennett gets the win.
In a bit of a shame for us Australians, we're all barracking for Caleb Ewan in the finish last night of that sprint stage. He came second, though, and Bennett takes the win and the green jersey. So hopefully Caleb Ewan can get a few more points on the way to Paris in a couple of weeks' time. Roglic retains the yellow jersey overall. Let's update you now on the golf from yesterday. Just quickly, Dustin Johnson, too good for his rivals, closing out his first FedEx Cup Tour victory with a win in the Tour Championship. He was way too good across the last 3 weeks and only being dudded by an unbelievable putt by John Rahm. And he would have won the last 3 weeks on the US PGA Tour. So he has been an absolute force at the end of this season. Still two majors to come, though. It's not the end of the big-time golf in 2020. And just quickly before we update you on the cricket, a bit of rugby news from yesterday. Dane Haylett-Petty from the Rebels here, previewing their knockout clash on the weekend.
Yeah, it's going well. Just settled in the sunroom here at the Crown Plaza. We've really enjoyed our sort of home base here in Terrigal. It's really suited us and, kind of made ourselves at home. And the weather's really turned it on. We've got the beach across the road, so when we're not training, we're recovering hard. It's setting us up for a good week. Obviously, pretty excited about playing finals footy against the Reds. Yeah, definitely. I think we've got amazing fans, and we're really conscious that they've been doing it tough in lockdown, and It's definitely been one of the things that we've been wanting to play for. You know, we're proud of playing for Melbourne and for the people, and hopefully they can enjoy 80 minutes each week of our footy. So, we're just trying to do them proud, and we'll do that again this weekend.
Just an update from the cricket. Australia 5 for 108, chasing 146 for victory after England made 6 for 145. They need 38 runs from 34 deliveries. Ashton Agar is 4 not out at the crease. Mitch Marsh, 14 from 15 not out. They got off to a good start, the Aussies, but they have faltered in recent times. They were 2 for 70, and then they lost Stoinis, Maxwell, Finch and Smith to collapse to 5 for 100. So hopefully the Aussies can get home from here in the third and final T20 International. Keep listening to The Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock for the concluding stages there. Let's head back to the footy world in case you are just waking up this morning. A win to Carlton last night by 5 points over Sydney. And amazingly, their finals hopes are still alive after earlier in the evening a huge upset as Adelaide were too good for GWS. Snowman wants to claim that 8th spot on the AFL ladder at the moment. Still one more game to come tonight. It is the final game of this round, which is round 16. Hard to keep up these days, but it does conclude tonight before we head into round 17 tomorrow, and it is Brisbane facing Gold Coast. Big game this one up at the Gabba, especially for the Lions. Smith, Payne and McCarthy come into the lineup. Birchall's been managed. Andrew's out with that injury and Fullerton also injured. It'll be Darcy McPherson's 50th game for the Gold Coast Suns. Let's have a listen in the build-up to this one from Chris Fagan, who gave us an update on Harris Andrews.
Yeah, well, for starters, it's not a massive blow. You know, we're a team, not the Harris Andrews Football Club. Yes, he's an important player. But we've got other guys that can play the role, and he's a defender, but we defend as a team. And, you know, you look back through the course of history, and it's been interesting to listen to all the banter the last few days. Richmond lost Alex Rance at the start of the year last year, and they won the flag. The year before that, you look at the West Coast Eagles, and they lose Nick Natanui, and they lose Gaff, and they win the flag. You look back at Hawthorn, and you go, Buddy Franklin went to the Sydney Swans after the 2013 premiership win by the Hawks, and everyone said, "Oh, that'll be it for the Hawks." They win the next two. So the sporting world is scattered with examples where you might lose a great player, but the other guys find a way to step up and improve. And we've noticed that several times. Harris, in fact, has missed, I think, 6 games over my time here at the club. This is my 4th year. He's missed 6 games. And guess what? We won 5 of those, and the other one we lost was by less than a goal. So we look forward to whoever takes Harris's place stepping up, and we know that the rest of the team will in his absence, and we're very hopeful that he'll be, you know, back and available for us at some stage later in the year.
So a big clash coming up tonight, an all-important one for the Brisbane Lions, just to keep ticking over the win so they can guarantee that top spot on the AFL table. In terms of the markets at tab.com.au, the Lions are $1.30 favourites, Gold Coast at $3.50. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club, Racing Pulse and RSN Central's Mitch Marsh smashes another 6. Enjoy the morning full sport and racing, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.